Hello, and welcome to the Business of Podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here, each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here, we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, this week on the show, we have Tom Corson Knowles from the Publishing Profits Podcast. Tom, how you doing?
Great, Craig. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, for sure. I love, one of my favorite things about this show is the variety of people that I get to talk to in podcasting. It seems like there's a really good place for almost everyone in podcasting, and it's cool to be able to discover a lot of the different angles that people are taking, within the same kind of business, but also your business is a little bit different than other people we've had on the show before. Your business is all about helping authors kind of make real businesses out of being an author, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's pretty much my goal, is to help authors learn how to earn a full-time income writing, publishing, and marketing books.
And how did you get, kind of what's your Superman Genesis story there?
I've been writing pretty much my whole life. I remember when I was like 10, 11 years old, I just opened up like a Word document on my computer and just started writing poetry. And it was a very weird thing for me to do because I didn't know anyone who wrote poetry. I'd only read like one poetry book, which is like Robert Frost. So, just from an early age, I just started writing stuff, and it was always kind of my go-to hobby or calling, so to speak, but I never really thought much about it. And I certainly never thought it was going to be like a career or a way to make money. And I was in business school at Indiana University. All my classmates, their dream was to go to Wall Street and become, investment bankers and, make big six-figure incomes. But for me, that looked like a nightmare. That was their dream, but it was my nightmare to work in a cubicle for 100 hours a week, to not be able to eat, sleep, drink, or take care of your health, no social life. It was just seemed like a miserable way to live. And so I was kind of looking for, how can I, after I graduated from college, how can I actually create a full-time income and do what I love? And I love to write. And so I just started writing a book when I was in college, and it wasn't even a book at the time. It was really just for me, a personal manifesto of what I thought it meant to live a successful life. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to write it down to really get clear on what I thought it meant to live a successful life. Cause I knew if I kept going down the path I was going down, I was going to end up miserable. And so I wrote that, and a few people just, who read it said, hey, you should get this published. And so long story short, I spent 6 years trying to get traditionally published, completely failed. And about 5 years ago, a friend just mentioned, why don't you just self-publish it on Kindle? And so I did my research. I read every book on Kindle that was available at the time, which was like two and a couple of blogs, and published my book on Kindle. And that first month, I sold 14 copies. And so I was jumping up and down. I was hooting and hollering. Like, I was so excited, man, because I knew, look, if I can sell 14 copies of my book without telling anyone what I had done, without doing any marketing, imagine what I could do if I treated this like a business. And so I saw the opportunity right away. I started, every day I'd get up at 5 a.m. I'd stay up late writing my next book, getting it published, building my platform, blogging, doing everything I could to get my message out there. And so that's kind of how I got started as an author. And within the first 12 months, I had my first $12,000 a month just from ebook royalties alone.
Wow, that's amazing. So and so I know your business sort of evolved from there, but are you still writing books, or are you sort of, managing the greater business at this point?
So I'm more in the managing role right now. I do a lot of writing, but it's mostly articles and that kind of thing. So I've written 20 books, and they've all become bestsellers on Amazon. And the thing is, Craig, I was kind of like burned out. So in the last 2 years, I haven't published a new book. Because I just haven't felt like I have something new to say. So I was writing like books on like Twitter marketing and Facebook marketing, and I was going to do my next one on LinkedIn marketing. And I was like, I don't really have anything new to add here. Like, there's so much stuff out there already. And so the next time I write a book, I want to do something that's totally unique. And yeah, that's a message that's really worth sharing,
And so at what point in, you mentioned sort of building your platform. I know for authors and really for anyone, building your platform is a really, really powerful way to be able to sell anything, right? People buy from people they know and like, and having your own platform is kind of one of the surest ways to sort of succeed with that. Can you talk about starting from, when you first started publishing that first Kindle book kind of to now, what the path has looked like for building your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great question. So there's a lot of things I've tried over the years. I mean, so many things, but the things that have worked is, you know, email marketing for sure. You know, having my own blog, my own website. When I first started blogging 10 years ago, it was like, juicetom.wordpress.com.
Right.
You know, it was like this free blog on WordPress. And then I had like a Blogger blog. It was on Blogger. And, you know, it's just, you know, it sounds great to have a free blog and not have to pay any money. But at the end of the day, you're shooting yourself in the foot from a business standpoint because you don't control that website. You don't own that website. You know, Google shut down one of my blogs about 10 years ago, and, you know, no reason was given. I couldn't talk to a human being to get it back. So I lost everything I had written on that blog. That's just not a position you want to be in a business. You want to own your own domain name. So just having your own website is like a no-brainer. And then once you have your website, having it set up and optimized to actually get new email subscribers is huge. It's crucial. You know, you look at authors and who's selling the most books, and everyone who's doing it right is doing email marketing. And that's the number one way they're selling books long term. Right. So like if I launch a new book tomorrow, or when I launch books for clients, I email my list. You know, we can sell 400, 500 books in a day from one email. And it took time to build up that platform, build up that following. But there's nothing else you can do to do that. Like, you can't post on Facebook or Twitter unless you have like 10 million followers. You're not going to get 500 book sales in a day. It's just not going to happen. And so just from a simple perspective of what's the most effective, email marketing is by far been the best. And the way that you build that list, the way that I built that list over the years is by having my blog, my website optimized, and then just writing great content for my audience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you guys just sort of celebrated your 100th podcast episode. Where did the podcast come in to your overall content strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. So at first, I started podcasting about 5-6 years ago. Actually, it was a different show. I was in a different market. I was teaching people about health and wellness. And again, I made the same mistake. I went through the free route. I went on like Podomatic. You know, I didn't have my own hosting or anything like that. And learned a lot of great lessons from it. That show didn't do very well. But I learned a lot from it. And so now how the show fits into my strategy, it does a lot of things. But first of all, it's just a great way to connect with your audience on a much deeper level. So, you know, I've got students, you know, everywhere from people who've just, you know, downloaded like a free report from my website or watched like a free training video to people who've bought like every single course and product and book I've ever published, right? And so everyone in anywhere in my funnel, whether they're brand new or whether they bought everything I've ever published, they want more, right? They need more information, and the podcast is a free way to get it, right? So they can learn so much from the podcast, and it's not salesy. Like, I don't have to be like, hey, go to this squeeze page or go to this sales page or buy this thing. It's just like, hey, check out this new interview. It's, you know, it's going to help you sell more books or, you know, get your books translated into German or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just adds massive value to my audience. The other thing that it does that I love is that it helps me connect with influencers in my field. So there's a lot of people like in the publishing industry, you know, it's a very kind of, it's like an old school industry. It's very close knit and it's very hard to break into, right? And so I've been able to land interviews with top people in the industry that I would never, ever have been able to reach any other way. You know, if I had begged my friends and family and everyone I knew in my network for a connection, I would never would have got it. But just the fact that I had a podcast show with an audience that could help them get their message out to my audience, I was able to land interviews with some huge people in the industry. And that's been another huge benefit, is that I've never seen anything like a podcast show that gives you that power to connect with pretty much anyone in any industry.
Yeah. Well, I have my own thoughts for why that is. But what do you think that is? I mean, I see the same thing. I mean, this show exists for a couple of reasons. One is to help, our audience at Podcast Motor to learn from people like you who are really pros at podcasting and take away a few nuggets of what you're doing really well that they can implement in their shows. It also is cool for me to just talk with people about podcasting because it's my business and a big part of my life. But it also is a great way for me to meet influencers and kind of just absorb their kind of knowledge and expertise. But why do you think the connection with these relatively high profile people is so easy to come by with podcasting, and it's not with guest posting or whatever else, social media equivalent? What do you think it is about podcasting?
I think it's just simply that there's no sales pitch involved and you're adding massive value to the person, mm-hmm. right? So if you have an audience with 10,000 listeners or whatever it is, and you go to someone in your industry and say, hey, I'd like to interview you for my show, you know, you're actually doing them a favor. So even though you're asking them to interview them, you're doing them a favor because you're promoting them to your audience, you know, and you're giving them massive exposure. Everyone wants to do interviews anyway. So, you know, anyone who's a high level influencer, they either have like a PR firm working for them, or they've got like an assistant like working on PR, trying to get them interviews constantly, right? And so by going out there and saying, hey, would you like to be interviewed on my show? It's like you're doing like two jobs for them. You're helping them find the show and you're promoting them. So it's just that super easy yes. I mean, it's super easy thing for them to say yes to because they're already looking for it.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it when great guests get kind of dropped in my lap. It's like the best thing because, yeah, like you said, I don't have to go, you know, keep looking for people to fill that queue. It's really a great day when that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we talk about this sort of stair-stepping your way to bigger guests on the show before. You know, you start with somebody who's like, a good person to have on your show, and then you get a little bit better and better and better guests until you realize you're talking to, you know, someone at one of the big five publishing companies or whatever. Can you give the folks who are listening kind of a couple tidbits that you've found to be really successful with your efforts in landing those big guests and some things you've learned?
Yeah, definitely. So a couple things. I mean, first of all, you want to just have a big list of all the people you want to be a guest on the show. So like your dream list. So have like your dream list. Like if you want like Tony Robbins or whatever, just put your dream list on the show of all the guests you want on the show, and have that somewhere organized like in Evernote so you can all constantly, you know, refer back to it. And then realize that, you know, you're probably not going to get them on the show right away. So what you want to do is fill up your queue, like have a backlog of episodes, have at least like a month's worth of episodes in backlog, like done already, ready to publish, but you just haven't published them yet. And what that does is it gives you the consistency so that, you know, first of all, every week or whatever, every day, whatever your publishing schedule is, you're going to have a new show. So that's one of the big mistakes I made, was like not, you know, taking like a month off or a week off because I, you know, went on vacation or whatever. So have that backlog. It'll save you so much effort and struggle in the long run. And it'll also just make you look more professional. So let's say, you know, Tony Robbins wants to be on your show. You're like, Tony, look, I can't publish your episode for like 2 months or a month or whatever because you have a backlog. Mm-hmm. It just makes you look more like an expert rather than someone who's like, hey, I need, you know, Craig, I need to interview on Wednesday because my show has to get published Thursday. And if we don't, you know, if this interview doesn't work out, you know, I'm going to be screwed, right?
Right,
like, it doesn't
right.
make you look like you know what you're doing, right, because you aren't prepared. So, I mean, that's what I would say, is just make sure you're constantly having guests every week who are good and adding quality content, whatever kind of show you're doing. So you constantly have quality content. And so you don't feel like you have to have that next guest for your show to succeed, because you already have everything you need to succeed. And so anytime you get a new big guest on, it's just like, oh, it's another guest. It's not a big deal. So I had Tucker Max on my show, which is, you know, huge in my industry. And it was just like, you know, it's not a big deal. Like I had all these other episodes at the time, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, so when you don't need them, it makes it easier. That conversation is a lot easier.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, some of these people won't respond to you. So if you reach out to some of these top people in your industry, they might, you know, they might be busy or what have you. But you can keep following up them every 6 months or every year. And so, you know, actually with Tucker Max, I don't remember exactly how he ended up getting booked on the show, but I know that I had reached out to him twice before. And then finally someone on his team reached out to me, right? So, you know, just because someone says no doesn't mean they don't ever want to be on your show. It might just be not the right time for them. So a lot of people, like authors especially, you know, will do all their interviews around the time like a new book comes out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
New product comes out. And so a lot of it is just timing, right? People want to get that media exposure, that podcast exposure at the right time for them. And so I would say, you know, just don't take it personally. If someone says no, it doesn't mean anything. It just means it's not the right time for them.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've found that that following up is much more often a factor of someone just forgetting than you know, sort of being pissed at you or you offending them or something. It's everyone's mm-hmm. so busy that don't take no response for an answer of no, for sure.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I would say about big guests, Craig, is like, don't stress about it too much. Like, You don't have to feel like you need Tim Ferriss or James Altucher or someone huge on your show just to get you more exposure, because you don't. What you really need is just people who know what they're talking about, or you know, you need. Well, I don't know if you're doing interview or what kind of podcast you're doing, but for interview based podcasts, you know, you can have a guest that like no one knows who they are, but if they're really smart and really intelligent and really know what they're talking about and can really add value to your audience, that's like one of the best guests you can have. And also, if it's someone that no one's ever heard of before, that means they haven't heard that interview before. They haven't heard this person talk before. So that information, that content is going to be totally unique to your show. And so that's actually a great thing you can do, is go out there and like find people in your industry who are unknown, but who are absolute experts and can add tons of value.
Yeah, the silent killers. I love hearing those. And I love hearing, you know, the same person that you've heard in your industry over and over and over, but to talk about something very different. Those are always really neat. So, you know, you are on a bunch of the, you know, authoring and publishing shows, but not a lot of people had heard you talk about your podcast before, probably, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I love interviews like this too, because it's like I get to talk about something different than like, you know, the same thing over and over again.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So what, you know, so email marketing is a huge deal. I think it's amazing, that it's not become saturated, even though it's, you know, reliably kind of the best performing marketing tool that people have. Do you use your podcast as a tool to grow your list? I know you said it's a great way to provide free content for your audience. Do you see a lot of signups coming from your Publishing Profits podcast website?
Yeah, definitely. We do get quite a few. It's not huge. Like, it's not the kind of thing where, you know, compared to like a Facebook ads funnel where you're consistently driving paid traffic or doing like, you know, joint venture promotions where you're having affiliates promote you. It's not like you don't get like this huge burst, but it's like steady, consistent, everyday new signups, you know, one or two or three a day, which is great, you know. So yes, it's very nice for email signups, but it's not the kind of thing that's like a huge burst in one moment, unless you like get, you know, a huge guest on your show or someone promotes you and you get a big burst of downloads.
Yeah, I would suppose that the quality and the sort of intent of the people that sign up through your podcast is a little higher than you would get from someone who gets driven by paid traffic or whatever sort of funnel that they arrive at your other site on, huh?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, that's the what's so awesome about podcasts is like you're in someone's head, you know, for like half an
literally.
Hour a day, or right? You're like literally like you're talking to them directly, or your guest is talking to them directly through your show, and so you're able to educate people so deeply with the podcast that you just can't do really any other way. I mean, video on YouTube and that kind of thing is great as well. But in my experience, you know, to have someone watch 100 YouTube videos is like not going to happen versus having someone, you know, listen to 100 of my podcast episodes has for sure happened and happens all the time. It's because, you know, it's just more convenient to have, you know, they can listen on their phone, their iPad, whatever, right? And so, in my experience, you know, great marketing is all about great education. And so if you can have someone who listens to 100 of your podcast episodes or 50 or 10 or whatever, that they're going to become so educated that it's like a no-brainer for them to do business with you. And, you know, if you have a really great product or service to sell people, Craig, all that you need is people to know about it, become educated enough, become informed enough, they're going to buy it naturally. Right. If someone knows enough about your service and they know how valuable it's going to be for them, it's a no-brainer for them to make that decision. So that's one thing I just love about the show that I don't think you get really with any other form of content marketing that I've seen, is you just get that long-term relationship, which is crucial to really educating people, especially if you're in a field that's like complex. Like being an author is super complex. Like, you know, there's the writing side of the business, there's the publishing side, there's the marketing side of the business. But then in each of those areas, like there's you know, levels and massive levels of experience and nuance and ideas that you have to learn to master over years and years and years of study and practice. And so without a podcast show, it's like, you know, how else are you going to teach someone that stuff? You know, like, for example, one of my courses has like 10 hours of content, right? That's one course. And that all that course does is it teaches you how to publish your books on Kindle and market them, right? But then I've got more advanced courses with like another 20 hours of content that's just on marketing, right? And even that hasn't covered everything yet. And so there's just so much knowledge that is available to share with people. And I think just the podcast is just a fantastic way to do that.
Yeah, we always say that you're either going to reach your existing audience like in a new way, or reach a different audience with your podcast versus a YouTube channel or a blog or something like that. And to your point about the sort of amount of content, we transcribe shows for, you know, a handful of our customers. And a typical sort of 40-minute episode is around 15 or 16 pages of transcribed content. Just think about if you were going to write a podcast worth of blog content, it would be, you know, 15 pages. So I don't know how many words you would know better than I would, how many words that is, but that's just an insane amount, like volume of content, versus you and I are going to sit down and talk for 20 minutes. You know, we'll spend some time editing it later, but the whole thing will take an hour and a half. For the bang for your buck, it's a no brainer, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, 100 episodes in, first of all, congratulations. I'm sorry I didn't say that before. It's a huge milestone. I mean, having done it for a few years, it's fantastic. What have been some really big wins for your podcast? You talked about consistency. I know that's a huge one, but what have been some things that you think you've done really well or learned that are really working, and what are some things that definitely have not?
Great question. So I think things that haven't worked is like not being regular, not being consistent. I mean, that's just a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I wish, because here's the thing, Craig, like when I started the show, it was like an extra. It was just like an add-on. It was just like a supplement to what I was already doing in my business, which was a lot. And so I never really, even though I knew like podcast shows were big and all that, and I had experience and I knew what it took to create a successful show, I was still kind of like, you know, half-assing it, right? And so that's the biggest mistake. It's just like, if you're going to do it really freaking well. Like, be the best in your field. Be the best in your market, right? And not like in all of iTunes, but in your market, the topic that you're an expert in, be the best in your field. If I had committed to that sooner, I think I would be, you know, much farther ahead. So that's the big mistake to avoid is just not giving it everything, like not giving it your all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. Things that have worked, you know, the guests' relationships, like relationships with influencers have been really crucial to not just the podcast success, but my overall business success. So, you know, I've done deals with like podcast guests, you know, like it's brought in at least six figures in new revenue to my business in the last two and a half years since the start of the show.
Joint ventures and things like that, co-marketing.
Joint ventures, cross promotions, and even just ideas. You know, like, because one of the great things about the show is that you get to ask, like, I don't have a structure, like, I don't have a super structured questions that I ask for my guests, so I could ask them whatever I want. And I like that you do that very similarly, Craig, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that because it allows me to ask literally what I want to learn. So, like, if I'm, you know, so recently we've been learning how to do foreign rights deals for our books. So how to get our books translated into other languages, and sold, like licensing those rights to international publishers. And we've done a couple of deals, but I'm still pretty new. And so I wanted to learn more. So I brought on a guest to talk about that exact topic. And I got to ask him, okay, like drill down the questions. Okay, you know, where did you find the agents that you hired? You know, what were the emails that you sent? You know, where are the lists of agents you found? And like all of that stuff is in the show notes and all of the stuff I got to use in my own business. And so that I would say is just a huge win is like when you're booking guests, look at, okay, what is the biggest problem in your business right now, Craig? What is the biggest problem in your business right now? And who could help you solve that problem? And then go get them and book them as a guest on your show and then ask them the questions and they'll teach you, you know, what you need to do to solve it. And if it's something that's like too sensitive to be like on your show, you can just ask them after the interview is over and be like, hey, I want to ask you this question or that question. So, you know, just from that standpoint, it's like you have this unlimited pool of resources to help and experts to help you improve your business or improve your life. And so that has been one of the greatest gifts of the podcast show is just be able to tap into that massive well of knowledge.
That's awesome. Yeah, I find myself taking notes during interviews a lot, and I have to kick myself because I say, no, stop. You can go listen to this later, you know, and we'll create show notes for it and everything. But yeah, I get so kind of enthralled with a lot of the conversations I had with our guest for this show because it's information that I take back to our customers at Podcast Motor and say, you know, hey, I was just talking to somebody that is killing it with like retargeting from their podcast page with Facebook ads or whatever. You're creating a Facebook group to nurture their audience with instead of just email marketing. So I totally agree. I mean, the people I get on the podcast here are people I want to talk to. It is very selfish a lot of times because it's going to help me understand my business and hopefully help our customers run better podcasts. And I love that we're able to share that with everybody. It's fantastic.
Mm, absolutely.
So where do you see kind of the next 100 episodes going for your show?
So for the show, I feel like we've covered a lot of the basics of like, you know, how to write a book and writing fiction versus writing nonfiction and traditional publishing versus self-publishing and, you know, market, all kinds of different marketing things. But I feel like what my kind of vision for the show is that each new episode will have something totally unique. So remember, like I said before, like there's so many nuances in the publishing world. Like just the show on foreign language rights is like, that's something that 99.5% of self-published authors have no idea even exists, right? And so to be able to kind of bring that information out to people, and then to have like in the show notes, like the checklists and the lists and like the email templates and like literally copy and paste everything you need to like go into this totally new area of publishing or marketing or promotion, and just be able to like copy and paste and, you know, make a few tweaks to your particular book or business and be able to go and run with that. I think that's really what I want for the show, is just to have every episode be something that people can just take away as concrete action step to really make a difference in their business.
That's cool, man. That's great. That's great. Tom, can you share with folks kind of where they can learn more about your show and what you're up to at TCK Publishing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast show is called the Publishing Profits Podcast. You can check it out at publishingprofitspodcast.com. And on iTunes, it's called the Publishing Profits Podcast. And you can check out my publishing company. We publish books internationally all over the world at tckpublishing.com. And if anyone's listening right now and you're interested in saying, hey, you know, I'd love to write a book, I just don't know what to do or how to make it actually work, I have a series of 4 free training videos that walk you through the process at ebookpublishingschool.com. That's ebookpublishingschool.com. And if anyone has questions about anything I shared today and you just want, you know, you need a little help or guidance, just feel free to email me personally at tom@tckpublishing.com.
Man, no, Tom, I really appreciate it. That's a ton of kind of knowledge and value there. I really appreciate you sharing that with everybody and for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it. It was great.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.